You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello, everybody. My name is Daryl, and welcome back to another Breadline show brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au. And if you're having problems with Centrelink or your job provider, give one of our volunteers a call at the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on 1800 289 848 between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday to Friday, or you can send us an email at ruwu.org.au. Now, Fight Against Inequality Network, or FAIN, is celebrating Trans Pride Week, running from the 13th to the 19th of this month, then Trans Day of Remembrance on the 20th. So get onto their website for more details. And now here is Danielle, our own roving and on-the-spot reporter, who's always in the thick of it, fearing no challenge that is too great for her. It's even rumoured we even had to stop her from jet-setting off to the Gaza Strip. So here she is.
This is Danielle, and I'm recording for 3CR. We're here at 130 Racecourse Road in Flemington in the foyer, and I've got Sarah here today. And Sarah, would you like to just tell us a little bit about why this community is so important to you?
This community is so important to me because we all live close together. It's a multicultural community. Most of us, we know each other. Children play together. We go activities together. It is a housing which the government looks after. And we are one of the economic people, low economic. So it is good for us. It's close to the city, close to the hospital, close to the shopping center. The tram comes in front of us. Everything is close, it's handy. That's what we love about it.
Thank you very much. And could you also so you know that the government is planning to demolish the towers, and how will that affect your life and this community?
That would affect our life very much because we will lose each other, the community who know each other and living each other and help each other. We look after our elderly people. We look after our grandchildren. We look after each other. We are a cohesive community living in harmony. It is good. We lose each other if they throw us from different directions. Yeah. We have been here since we were in Australia.
Yeah.
So that will heartbreak really.
Yeah.
That will affect us so much.
Yes, because to get into this building, you probably had to go through a lot of disruption in your life and trauma to get here, and then to leave here again after that, it would be traumatizing again.
The trauma will come back because we were in a refugee and we had a trauma life.
Yeah.
And the nightmare will come back really. If you lost your house, you become a refugee again.
Yes.
Yes, so it is hurting us really, and we would like the government not to increase. More than 60,000 people are homeless, I heard from the radio.
Yep.
So why would they increase another homeless for another 20,000 people or more?
Yep.
So some of the buildings are very good because they have been repairing and repairing and repairing. They know where to demolish. Some of them are like 120 and 112 Holland Court, yes. But this building and that building, they look like brand new.
Yep.
They have no problem.
So when you say this building and that building, you mean 126 and 130 are very good?
Very good.
Yeah.
They don't need to be demolished, really.
Has the government...
It's a waste of money. Yeah. I don't know why they would waste the money when so many people are already... If the government cares about the people, why would they make the people homeless and demolish their houses?
Yeah. And they haven't told you that they are unable to actually renovate and maintain this place and make it better?
No consultation happened, really. They didn't consult with us. They ignore us.
Yeah.
They didn't consult with us. But nowadays, a little bit, consultation is happening.
Yeah.
But they make the decision without telling us anything.
Yeah. So they've ignored you and it's very, very, very hurtful.
Yeah. The first thing I heard was when Daniel Andrew was the premier in here, when he was leaving, I heard from the news that this building is going in like Australian super, rich people.
Yeah.
So I was shocked. I heard from the radio. I heard from the radio and I was shocked.
That's not fair. Have they talked to you about where you might be able to go in the future?
Really, they build the houses in here, and they're putting the people in there. Some people choose to go, some people choose not to go, because these are public housing and community housing. They're more expensive than this one,
yeah.
I heard, and the rooms are small. These people who live here, they are extended family.
Yeah.
They have 5 children, 7 children, 8 children. The fridge, the kitchen in there is so small. People cannot put even their fridge there.
Yeah.
So it is good for young people who are working in the city. It's good for them.
Yeah.
But for the extended family, it's too small. We hope they're building now new places.
Mm.
Two buildings I see, it will be good if they make for the extended family bigger rooms.
So that you can stay in your local area.
So that they can stay in their local area and have the life they have. Because children growing, they go to uni, they will be independent later on.
Yeah.
But while they need the help, I think they have to keep them.
Is there anything else you would like to share with the community on the radio?
The community has to look after each other, advocate for each other, help each other. It looks like the government is giving a concentration to other things, not the community. Labor sometimes is good. They look after the community. But I don't know. The world is heading like only looking rich people.
So
not
you,
looking after
you can't trust people. The government to necessarily look after the community?
We trust the government. They're not bad. They're not so bad. But we are expecting more than that from the government.
Very good answer. Thank you so much, Sarah, for your time today.
Thank you.
And that was Danielle. And that was a great interview there by her. Well, we're moving right along.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM on digital and online. 3CR Radical Radio.
Okay, now I'd like to talk about CenterPay, and thanks to Jessica for emailing me this. A report from the Anti-Poverty Centre released just last week saying they're calling for immediate intervention from energy companies and government in response to today's annual electricity and gas markets report published by the Australian Energy Regulator. Major energy companies like Origin and AGL, who have been found to have stolen from welfare recipients via CenterPay, must use their profits to wipe out debt. The government must step in with strong regulation to prevent more exploitation and spiralling debt. Anti-Poverty Centre spokesman Jay Coonan says urgent action is needed to provide immediate relief for the tens of thousands of people in poverty who are struggling with huge energy debt that they cannot pay down. Energy companies are banking billions in profit, while welfare recipients are saddled with debt. Many people on Centrelink payments who receive the government's so-called energy relief payment told us they received tariff hikes shortly after the payment was announced last year, locking in higher prices. This comes off the back of the biggest players stealing from welfare recipients through Centrepay. So those big companies, they can move and change things quickly enough when they want to. Jay goes on to say energy companies need to use their eye-watering profits to extend debt forgiveness programs for people on low income, and government needs to step in and regulate to ensure they pass on savings they are seeing thanks to increasing renewable energy in the grid. And from The Guardian, in the months since the government announced it will overhaul its controversial Centrepay debit system, one thing has become abundantly clear. Many already knew it was failing. Those working with those using the government-run debit system, particularly those in remote parts of the country, knew Centrepay was capable of facilitating shocking financial exploitation of the nation's most vulnerable. Regulators and watchdogs knew, financial advocates and community lawyers knew. There was no shortage of voices screaming into the tin ear of government. Tin ear, all right. The government regulator, the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, has directly warned Services Australia that predatory businesses, many of whom had become ASIC investigation targets, were continuing to use Centrepay to exploit welfare recipients. The consumer watchdog, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, has been hearing complaints for many years via its Consumer Consultative Committee regarding the conduct of some Centrepay businesses and the ability of Services Australia to manage poor conduct. Well, why didn't the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission do something back then? Strange. Anyway, it goes on to say the Australian Energy Regulator launched a major prosecution of energy giant AGL over its use of Centrepay to continue taking welfare money from hundreds of customers who had even departed as customers years earlier. Even that failed to prompt further audits of AGL's use of the system. The company is defending the case, saying it cannot be held to have unlawfully overcharged the welfare recipients because it never directly asked for the payments. What are they, children? What kind of an answer is that? If you get a bill from AGL and say, oh no, I can't pay this, I didn't ask for it, how far do you think that would go? Not very far, I could tell you. Actually, I know someone who was thinking of using Centrepay for his quarterly bill. And when he looked into it, he changed his mind so quick. He said, at first, they decide how much money they take from you. Secondly, after they have taken enough money out to pay your last bill, they still want to keep taking money out from your payment. So they want you to start paying for electricity and or gas you haven't even used yet. So instead, he looked at his highest bill, and that was his set target. Then he divided that by six. That gave him his fortnightly payments. But rather than use Centrepay, he kept the money in his own bank account. Now, he controls the money. Yeah, good on you. He goes on to say that after he pays the bill, if it's low enough, sometimes he reaches his target again in only 2 months. So that gives him a month of extra money. Well, there you have it. Good on you, mate, for doing that. You've got to watch these people. I don't let anyone take money out of my bank account. I've heard too many horror stories about how it's so hard to stop them one way, which is a bit of a nuisance. You've got to close your account and open up another one. It's you can't just tell them to stop. They don't listen. It's incredible. Anyway, yeah, we've come to the end of the show now, but don't forget, we'll be back again next Monday. Stay tuned for the Eritrean Voice Show coming up next. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.